Chapter 1. You can't get there from here. Barry Laverty, Dr. Barry Laverty, his houseman's year just finished, ink barely dry in his degree, pulled his beat-up Volkswagen Beetle to the side of the road and peered at a map lying on the passenger seat. Six road ends was clearly marked. He stared through the car's insect-splattered windscreen. Judging by the maze of narrow country roads that ran one into the other just up ahead, somewhere at the end of one of those blackthorn-hedged byways lay the village of Ballybuckle Bow. But which road should he take? And, he reminded himself, there was more to that question than simple geography. Most of his graduating classmates from the medical school of the Queen's University of Belfast had clear plans for their careers, but he hadn't a clue. General practice? Specialise? And if so, which specialty? Barry shrugged. He was 24, single, no responsibilities. He knew he had all the time in the world to think about his medical future. But his immediate prospects might not be bright if he were late for his 5 o'clock appointment. And though finding a direction for his life might be important, his most pressing need was to earn enough to pay off the loan on the car. He scowled at the map and retraced the road he had travelled from Belfast. But the six road ends lay near the margin of the paper. No Ballybuckle Bow in sight. What to do? He looked up, and as he did, he glimpsed himself in the rearview mirror. Blue eyes looked back at him from a clean-shaven oval face. His tie was askew. No matter how careful he tied the thing, the knot always managed to wander off under one collar tip. He understood the importance of first impressions and did not want to look scruffy. He tugged the tie back into place, then tried to smooth down the cowlick on the crown of his fair hair. But up it popped. He shrugged. It would just have to stay that way. He wasn't going to a beauty contest. It was his medical credentials that would be scrutinised. At least his hair was cut short, not like the style affected by that new musical group, the Beatles. One last glance at the map confirmed that it would be of no help in finding his destination. Perhaps, he thought, there would be a signpost at the junction. He got out of the vehicle, and the springs creaked. Brunhilt, as he called his car, was protesting about the weight of his worldly goods. Two suitcases, one with his meagre wardrobe, the other crammed with medical texts. A doctor's medical bag tucked under the bonnet, and a fly rod, creel, and hip waders lying on the back seat. Not much to show for someone possessing a medical degree, he thought, but with any luck, his finances would soon take a turn for the better, if he could just find Ballybuckle Bow. He leant against the car door, conscious that his 5'8", slightly built frame barely gave him enough height to peer over Brunhilt's domed roof. And even standing on tiptoe, he could see no evidence of a signpost. Perhaps it was hidden behind the hedges. He walked to the junction and looked around to find a grave deficiency of signposts. Maybe Ballybuckle Bow's like Brigadoon, he thought, and only appears every 100 years. I'd better start humming How Are Things in Glaucomora and hope to God one of the little people shows up to give me directions. He walked back to the car in the warmth of the Ulster afternoon, breathing in the gorse's perfume from the little fields at either side of the road. He heard the liquid notes of a blackbird hiding in the fuchsia that grew wild in the hedgerow, the flowers drooping purple and scarlet in the summer air. Somewhere a cow lowed in basso counterpoint to the blackbird's treble. Barry savoured the moment. He might be unclear about what his future held, but one thing was certain. Nothing could ever persuade him that there was anywhere, anywhere at all, he would choose to live other than here in Northern Ireland. No map, no signpost, and no little people, he thought, as he approached the car. I'll just have to pick a road and... He was pleasantly surprised to see a figure mounted on a bicycle crest the low hill and pedal sedately along the road. Excuse me. Barry stepped into the path of the oncoming cyclist. Excuse me. The cyclist wobbled, braked and stood, one foot on the ground and the other on a pedal. For a moment, Barry wondered if his hopes of meeting a leprechaun had been fulfilled. "Good afternoon," he said. He was addressing a gangly youth, innocent face half hidden under a paddy hat, but not hidden well enough to disguise a set of buck teeth that Barry decided would be the envy of every hare in the six counties. He carried a pitchfork over one shoulder and wore a black worsted waistcoat over a collarless shirt. His tweed trousers were tied at the knees with leather thongs that the locals called Nicky Tams.
"Grandy," he remarked.
"It is."
"Okay, grand. He's coming along fine, so it is."
The youth picked his nose. "I wonder if you could help me."
"Aye."
The cyclist lifted his hat and scratched his ginger hair.
"Maybe."
"I'm looking for Ballybuckle Bow."
"Ballybuckle Bow?"
His brow knitted, and the head scratching increased. "Can you tell me how to get there?"
"Ballybuckle Bow." He pursed his lips. "Boys are boys. Thon's a grand wee place, so it is."
Barry tried not to let his growing exasperation show. "I'm sure it is, but I have to get there by 5.
"5? Today, like?"
Barry bit back the words, "No, in the year 2000. He waited. The youth fumbled in the fob pocket of his waistcoat, produced a pocket watch and consulted it, frowning and muttering to himself. He looked at Barry.
5? You've no much time left."
"I know that. If you could just..."
"Ballybuckle Bow."
"Please."
"Okay."
He pointed to the road that lay straight ahead.
"Take that road."
"That one?"
"Aye. Follow your nose till you come to Willie John McCoubrey's Red Barn."
"Red Barn. Right.
Now, you don't turn there."
"Oh, not at all."
"Keep right on. You'll see a black and white cow in a field, unless Willie John has her in the Red Barn for milking. Now, go past her and take the road to your right."
As he spoke, the youth pointed to the left side of the road. Barry felt a mite confused. "First, right, past the black and white cow?"
"That's her,"
he said, continuing to point to the left.
"From there on, it's only a wee doddle."
"Mind you, sir..." He started to mount his rusty machine. Then he delivered the rest of the sentence with the solemnity of a priest giving the benediction.
"If I'd been you, I wouldn't have tried to get to Ballybuckle Bow from here in the first place."
Barry looked sharply at his companion. The youth's face showed not the least suggestion that he'd been anything other than serious. "Thank you," said Barry, stifling his desire to laugh. "Thank you very much. Oh, and by the way, you wouldn't happen to know the doctor there?" The youth's eyebrows shot upwards. His eyes widened, and he let go a long, low whistle before he said,
"Himself? Dr. O'Reilly?"
"By God, I do, sir.
In soul, I do."
With that, he mounted and pedalled furiously away. Barry climbed into Brunhilt and wondered why his advisor had suddenly taken flight at the mere mention of Dr. O'Reilly. Well, he thought, if Willie John's cow was in the right field, he'd soon find out. His appointment at 5 was with none other than Dr. Fingal Flaherty O'Reilly.